ceased from that supply. You have, Lord. No man has it, but you have it. And Lord, you are able to feed your children, Lord. Each one of us are asking, Lord, that tonight you would speak to our hearts, that you would give us revelation. Lord, that you would bless those that are here, those that are not. You know every heart and every need. Sister Edith's need tonight, Lord. We ask you would touch her and bless her. Lord, for Sister Evelyn and her feet, Lord, that you would continue to minister to her, give her strength and healing and blessings, Lord. And Father, you just know what each of us have need of, Lord, and we commit ourselves daily to you, asking for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Lord, guide us now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Good to see you tonight, and just thank the Lord. And so good to have Sister Rhonda back with us. We have missed her, and we thank God for his mercy and grace. Now, I know Brother Michael mentioned a trip. He got the van, and so we're looking forward to that. Now, as far as I know, the storm is going to be moved on by then, and everything will be good. So we'll be looking forward to that, and may the Lord just have his way. And now, I tell you, a very unusual thing on Sunday. It was after 1 o'clock before I ever looked at the clock, and it never even felt like to me. I know when you're sitting there, you feel like you've been sitting there a long time, but very unusual. Usually, you know, after 20 minutes or 30 minutes, you're just checking. It's just a subconscious thing. And when I looked at the clock, it was 10 after 1. And I was really amazed. And so I have a lot tonight, but I'm not going to keep you. I know it's a school night. And so I just want to get right into it. And may the Lord just help us to look at it. There's so much. We want to say good things. It's great things. It's amazing things. It's awesome things. The Word of God is endless, and is so great. So we want to pick up here in Christ, the mystery of God revealed, paragraph 179. Now we see his mystery he had hid in his mind before the foundation of the world. This great mystery that he had, it was hidden. It was hidden, and Brother Ram said he was letting it out a little bit at a time, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And so, you know, sometimes when something's just coming a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, you just stay in anticipation of what is it? You get another picture and you say, yeah, I see that, and that's good, but it doesn't make the whole picture. And so you're wondering, what exactly is this thing going to turn out to be? And so that's what it's been, and that's what they were wondering. The predestinated seed, the children of God, all the way have been wondering, what is it that God's going to do? What is this great plan? Now, let's just all turn now, just for one reading anyhow, to the book of Ephesians. And let's begin the first chapter of Ephesians to read. And now, as the Sunday school lesson goes on now, in this threefold manifestation of Christ, see? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Now watch, it's not addressed to the world, see? To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, Brother Branham made it clear in the Church Ages book that the scripture, that God is speaking to two groups of people. So here he's making it clear which group he's speaking it to. Other places he's speaking to the world. He's speaking to the false vine. He's speaking to those that can't see what is truth. Paragraph 180. How do you get into Christ Jesus? By joining church? No. By a birth. By one spirit. 1 Corinthians 12. We're all baptized into one body. See? All right? That's the ones he's talking to. That ain't addressed to the outside world. We can't talk to the sinner on this, because he knows nothing about it, see? Paul didn't address it to no sinners. Isn't that something? It's beyond them. He said, this is to that group there that's in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. See? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Whereabouts? In heavenly places in Christ. Where has he blessed us? In heavenly places. And, you know, this is where he makes the great statement on heavenly places and what it is. But he's speaking to us and he's telling us, where are we? Where are we? We are in heavenly places in Christ. See, 182, heavenly places. Oh, how I wish I had time. Here, see, I got it marked right out in my Bible about heavenly places. What is heavenly places? Heavenly places, just for a moment, is the believer's position in Christ. See, where the believer stands in Christ in heavenly places. And you know, that is an outstanding thing. And I'm not going to spend much time on it tonight because I have some other things I want to look at. But this is worth taking some time on and just talking about it. And our position in Christ, what is it? What is it? What age are we living in? What part of the body are we manifesting? What part of Christ are we manifesting? Yes, that's the thing. And it's people finding their position. And I was thinking about it today, Brother Branham, talking about that there's three kinds of believers. And we know what they are. And we know how we use that and how we type that. And I thought, how that in this message, there's three kinds of believers right in this message, and looking at it a little bit different than what Brother Branham is saying, and not to try to be different, but I was thinking that you have one group that they're still in the church ages, and you have another group that's in the revelation. They're in the middle. They're in the revelation and they're walking with Christ. And then you have another group, and they've gone beyond Christ. Because when they go beyond the revelation that God has given, when they go beyond and they're somewhere else over there, and they're in some other body that he hasn't put you in yet, and whatever their revelation is, no matter, and there's so many revelations today. So there's a group that's over there somewhere, and they've, the way I see that is they've put themselves beyond. They've put themselves beyond him. Because they've bypassed this. They've said amen to this. They said amen to the church ages. They said amen to this. But now they've come on and they've built their own revelation. They've come up with an idea that sounds good to them. And so these other ones back here, they won't come up to this. They got satisfied right there in the church ages, and they won't budge from it. So it's hard. So see, the believer's position in Christ, see, where the believer stands in Christ, in heavenly places, see, according as he has chosen us, listen close, chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. When did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world. When his great hidden mystery, his great secret, see, he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame, before him in what? In love. Huh? Which love? His love. Having what? Predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And Brother Branham says, predestinated. There's the mystery. There's the mystery. And I told you I got ahead of myself a couple Sundays ago. And this is, I should have read this back then or saved that for here. Whatever, but it just, I couldn't hold it. Predestinated. There's the mystery, see? Before Christ or anything else was ever on earth. You see his great mystery? That he chose the bride, knowing Eve would fall? He knew Eve was going to fall?
Yes, sir.
He knew it. From disbelieving the word, knowing that she would fall, but he would choose a bride that would not fall.
Amen.
So he had one that he knew was going to fall. She had to fall so he could display his attributes. Then he had another one that could not fall because he was going to display his perfection. He was going to display his attribute in that he would have a bride that couldn't fail, that couldn't fall in any way. She would be perfect without spot, without wrinkle, without anything of the world hanging on her. She would be virgin of his word. And he could have made Eve that way if he wanted to. He could have made her that way. But he needed her to fall so he could display his attributes.
That's right.
And so he could bring this perfection in a many-membered body. Amen. See? But he would choose a bride that would not fall, but would hold to that word regardless of what all the rest of the world had to say about it. They would hold to that word. They are predestinated to stand there. The adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Huh? The adoption of children predestinated the church to that great glorious stand. Amen. See, now you see a secret. See, to restore fallen Eve. As she was a prefigure of the church. What was Eve? A prefigure. Just as Eve fell, the church was going to fall. Why? So the seed could go in the ground. So he could display himself. Some more, until he come to the complete perfection of what he wanted to be.
Amen.
Now, you say, well, that was in Christ. That was perfect. It was perfect. And it was the fullness of God was right there. But he wanted that same thing in a body.
Yes.
He wanted that same thing in a bride.
Yes.
And that's what he was building to. He brought it all to Christ. That was perfect. There was no flaw in him whatsoever. Christ was 100% the fullness of God in a fleshly body.
Amen.
He was. So much so that he could die. But then he was going to bring it again in a bride. But that seed had to go into the ground. See, now you see a secret. What to? To restore fallen Eve as she was a prefigure of the church. And now notice, as God opened up the side of Adam and took out Eve by his own flesh and blood, and divided his spirit from masculine and feminine. See? To feminine and put it in Eve. That's right. Who did this? God. In the prefigure. In the prefigure of what Christ was and his bride was going to be. See? He took a rib from under his side and made Eve out of it. See? So God did the same thing, taking out of the side of Christ the blood and the water. And Christ is the Word. And taking the Word and making up His church. See? Back to Himself again. Praise God. The first Eve, the second Eve. The first Adam, the second Adam. That was the prefigure of what it was going to be. That had to fall so this could manifest the perfection in its fullness. Redeemed by the blood that was come from his body. You see it now? God's great mystery now being unfolded. That's been hid since the foundation of the world. But he prefigured it all the way down through. All the way he was talking about it. All the way he was showing it. All the way he was showing it in type. The prefigure of what it was. Praise God. Now, notice now, we find that he did that. And here in Ephesians and many other places, but that will give you enough now, down through the ages. He has been slowly unfolding this mystery. Can you see now? See how it was coming in Moses and in the prophets and in each one that came on the scene, each one that was manifesting that part of the word for their day, that part of the body, that part of the body for their day. He was building a body. It was a word body. How did he? What happened in the prefigure? See? He opened Adam's side and took part of his flesh, which was Adam, to make Eve.
Amen.
The bride has to be the Word, for he is the Word. Praise God. I'm so thankful for this.
Yes.
I'm so thankful for this, that we aren't something that he just made up after the fact. So he just created something and throwed it out there. No, this bride is a part of him. You can't take you can't take it any other way. You can't believe this message and take it any other way.
Amen.
When you do, then you're putting your cow up in the tree.
Yeah.
You're putting your cow up in the tree then, because she is a part of him. Eve was a part of Adam, and that's the reason that she could fall. That she could fall and he couldn't. That he could be her savior. That he could walk out and take her.
Yeah.
The same thing Christ was going to do for the bride. It was perfect. It beats me how people can find fault in it. I don't find no fault in it. I see perfection in it. I see absolute perfection. I see absolutely Christ and His bride right there in Adam and Eve. I see the Savior. I see the fallen bride. I see the redemption. I see Him bringing her back to Himself. Why? Because He loved her. Simply because He loved her. Was she worthy of death? She was worthy of death. But she couldn't because she was part of Him. And to prove that she failed, but she never stopped being that part of Adam. Adam failed because he walked out. He tasted death because he walked out on her behalf. Never stopped being a son of God. Never stopped being a daughter of God. Never, never. You don't find that in the Scripture. You don't find it in the Scripture where Adam stopped being a son of God.
Amen.
He had eternal life.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's almost like those spirits are out there so strong. It's almost like you have to qualify it every time now and add to the statement that God is eternal and there's only one eternal. There's only one eternal. And eternal means no beginning and no ending.
That's right.
That's never going to change.
Amen.
No matter what you do, no matter how deep you go in the quotes, that's never going to change.
Amen.
No matter how deep you go in the revelation, that's never going to change.
Right.
That's part of the revelation.
Yes, sir.
That's part of the mystery. That's part of what was revealed. That's part of it.
Yes.
See? The bride has to be the Word. For He's the Word. She cannot stand on creeds. She cannot stand on denomination. She cannot stand on good behavior. Amen. She has to stand alone on the Word. Because she is a part of Him. She was taken from Christ. See? Amen. Where was Eve taken from? Adam. She was a part of Adam. That's what makes it so perfect. That's what makes it so beautiful. That's why it's the prefigure. That's why it's the type. It was 100% showing what was going to happen, what was coming with Christ and the bride. Now, this next quote, this has always been a great quote to me. And this quote, it's one of the first quotes. There's a few quotes that really helped me when we began to take a look at the rapture. And the rapture, to understand the rapture as being more than just the ground opening up and people coming up and us going, this body falling off and us going up into the air. And the traditional idea of the nominal churches, of the theology of the last 2,000 years. This is one of the quotes that really, for me, opened the door to see that it was much greater and it was much deeper than just the denominational idea of a rapture. And then at the same time, it's when I really realized that how much of message believers, myself included back there, myself included, believed the revelation of the Bible exactly as the nominal churches did. When I realized that I believe the rapture just like the nominal churches did, only I claimed that I believed these mysteries, and there was mysteries, there was many things that was unfolded, you know, the serpent seed and these different things, and many things was revealed, but on the basic doctrines, we were believing the same thing. We believe Moses and Elijah was the two men that was going to come. We believe that the rapture was, we were going to fly off into the sky. And that just so many different things like that. That was still, although we were believing a prophet, we were believing mystery, we were believing the seals, we were believing the church ages. But yet, in some shape, form, or fashion, we still had that nominal idea of many things. And when God began to open it up, then it did for us what the prophet said it did for him. It made the Bible a new book. It made the Bible a new book. And you read it different. You understand it different. You read the scripture now, and you think back to 20 years ago. That scripture now means so much more to you now than it did back there. Because God has made it real. The word of this age, the opening of the word in this day, has made the scriptures real to you. Paragraph 188. And to be sure. Now, let's just stop for 1 minute and back up. Now, what is he talking about? What was he talking about before he reads this scripture and says, and to be sure? Now, what was he talking about? He was talking about the body of Christ and the bride, right? He was talking about the bride coming out of Christ. He was talking about Eve coming out of Adam. That's what he was talking about, right? And he was talking about how they were one and the same, that she's a part of him. Now, he goes from that to this. We want the context of what he's saying. We want to continue his thought. And so from that, he says, and to be sure, the whole rapture now, he goes from that body of them being the same to the rapture. And he says, the whole rapture now, Luther was a part. Wesley was a part. The prophets was a part. Yes. Now that, it's big saying Luther and Wesley was a part. Now it's bigger that he's going to include those prophets back there. Amen. And so he feels like now he's going to qualify that. Said, because you may be really doubting that in your mind. So he's going to qualify it. So he says, the prophets was a part. See, if they weren't a part, and he's not, let me correct that. He's not just talking about the prophets. He's talking about all of it. But he's also picking up those prophets. Amen. See, just in the revelation that they was making up, how was they a part of the rapture? They were making up that part of the revelation. See? The body. So they were making up that part of the revelation. They were making up that part of the body. The feet, the toes, the arms, and so forth, until the head. Where are we today? We're in the head. Right now, we're in the head now. See? And that's Christ, because he's come to the body. He's come, he has the body, the head has come and become one with the body. And as Adam and Eve was one, as Christ and the bride is one. See, until the head now, which we'll get to that in a few minutes. Oh, see, he's promised us some more is coming. And it's a little ways down the road here, but it's coming. It's in there. He ain't gonna leave it out. See? That makes the entire rapture. How much of the rapture? The entire rapture, not part of the rapture, not the toes, not the that back there, not in Luther's day, not Wesley's day, no, the entire. What makes the entire? When the head comes to the body. Amen. That's what makes the entire rapture. So everything you have before that is in part. Everything you have before that is not the complete or the fullness of it. See? That makes the entire rapture, period. It's the body of the Word, which is Christ. What did he say the bride was? He said Christ is the Word. The bride must be the Word. So she is the body. She's the body. She's the Word body. And she is where Christ is manifesting himself. See, that makes the entire rapture, which is Christ. Amen. Now, I'm just going to read that paragraph again because it's so worthy of being read several times. And unless you just pull it out and read it regular, then it's good that we'll get it two or three times while you're right here at it. And to be sure, the whole rapture now, Luther was a part. Wesley was a part. The prophets was a part. See? If they aren't, just in the revelation that they was making up. See? The body, feet, toes, arms, and so forth, until the head, which we'll get to in a few minutes, see? That makes the entire rapture. It's the body of the Word, which is Christ. Amen. Amen. So that's what it is. It's the full revelation. It was building that revelation. It was building the revelation of the Word, the revelation of the body. In every age, it was building and building and building until it comes to the head and it's the complete, it's the fullness of it. Outside of that, you're lost. I don't care how good you are, what your relationship is, what your fellowship is, what your organization is, you're lost. See, outside of that Word being in you. Praise be to God. That was the same thing back there in the toes. Those prophets back there, it was the Word of that day. And outside of that, if you weren't with that, you were lost. Amen. That's right. All the way through, every one of those prophets come on the scene. That you rejected that, you weren't part of that body. If you weren't part of this body, you had your own ideas. You rejected. Now, I want to read a little bit right here. And I got a confession to make to you. But I'm just going to read just a little bit here. First, paragraph 10. We all believe in the coming of the Lord. See, that's His coming is soon as at hand. See, that His coming is soon at hand. We believe it's at hand now. And we don't know just what time it'll be that He'll arrive. In view of this, we want to put forth every effort that we know how, see, to further the kingdom and get the last person saved into the kingdom. And when the last one is saved, there'll not be one extra one, see? It'll just be so many. And when the last one is brought in, the body of Christ is completed. The rapture will come. Now, that's what I was searching for when I was looking. I thought, I read this quote in Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, on the rapture being made up, the body of all through the ages. And so I wanted to see if I could just pull a few quotes together for that. And so this was talking about the body of Christ is completed and the rapture will come. And so that's a true statement. That's a true statement. So he goes on to say, but he's saying here that we're looking for it. We're looking for it. And so we are longing for that day to get out of this place where we're at here now. For it's certainly a pest house, we know that, full of sickness and disease, disappointments and trouble, see? And my, who would want to stay here when there's such a better place to get to? And so we're trying to get every soul saved so that Jesus can come. And He cannot come until the last one that has the name on the book of life that was put there before the foundation of the world. And when that name is called, that's the last one then. And He came to redeem, to bring back. Redeem is to bring back. And when He brings that last one in, see, He's sitting at the right hand of God tonight, doing His mediatorial work. And when the last soul is saved, that was redeemed, see, and seen and known of God before the foundation of the world. When that last soul is saved, that closes the book. And then the Lamb comes out and He takes the book out of the right hand of Him that sits on the throne. He's coming then. He's coming to the earth. I think that God is, see. Now, this message is in April 1964. And Brother Branham is saying that we're looking for Him to come and that we're waiting for the last name to be called. And when it is, He's going to come and take the book. And he says here that tonight, right now, He's sitting on the right hand of God. Is that right? That you read it. He's sitting at the right hand of God. He's interceding. He's taking care of those things. And so I read this quote, and I don't know if this ever happened to you brothers before or not, but my first thought was, don't read it. Don't read it. It's controversial. It'll be confusing, and you can't explain it well enough that the people are going to get it. That was my first thought. And then I thought about it a minute, and I thought, that's a real hypocrite. And I thought, you know, and it wasn't too long ago I was criticizing a man who I sat and listened to several times, reading the message, and right when he would get to some of the revelation or some mystery or some meat, he would skip over it. He'd turn the page, and he would go on reading it. And I thought, so what's the difference? This is disagreeing with my idea, so this is basically the same thing he was doing. He's gotten something he didn't understand or didn't feel like he could explain, so he'd just skip over it and skip over it. And I thought, that's not the way to do it. Amen. And we have to acknowledge that he said these things. We have to acknowledge that, just like Brother Branham said about time no more. And he said, oh, you misunderstood me. I didn't say that. We're still in time. There's time to the end of the millennium. The millennium is a period of time. And so he says, you misunderstood. So, but when we receive the revelation of what he's saying, then we understand what ended. What we understand, what time is no more. And so the same with this right here. And so I said, okay, I'm going to read it, whether I do a good job of explaining it or not. But we know that the seals have been revealed. We know that he made it clear that the mediatorial work and the intercessory work is finished. He many messages, he made that clear. He made it clear when the seals was opened, that they couldn't even be opened until the mediatorial work was finished. So what's he saying here? Well, what's he saying? Who's he talking to? Just like we read in Ephesians, and he said, he's talking to the believer. He said, you can't say this to them because they don't understand it. They don't know what it is. They're not comprehending what's already taken place. They don't understand that these things have already taken place. If they see that, then they can walk in it. If they don't see it, they can't walk in it. And so the difference is he's identifying where and when it takes place. And he's telling them, when the last one has accepted it, then he takes the book. Amen. And he walks forth and makes the claim. And so when he can't do that until the last one had been claimed. And so he could not hang on Calvary until the last one, the last sacrifice, the last one that was going to come in under the blood of bulls and goats. Because there were so many was going to come in under that. And when that last one and that last sacrifice had been made, then he said, it's finished. It's finished. And no more was coming under that. Many times we get nervous and we begin to think, well, it ought to be this way. And we got to make it this way or that way. We don't have nothing to do with it. Just play our part that he leads us to play. Remember, there's nothing out of Cater. Now, that I like it. Many times we get nervous. Many times we wonder. We think, okay, I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do that. Especially for ministers, we have a burden. We have a responsibility. We want to feed the sheep. We want to be able to give them spiritual food. And so, but when we think that it's up to us now to interpret this thing, then we've messed up.
Yes,
we've messed up when we come to that place. Yep. And that's what's wrong with that's why there's so much many different ideas right now, is because of interpretation.
Amen.
See, there's nothing out of order. We just need to play our part. God, like in the beginning, he was self-existing Elohim. So there was nothing to worship him. He was just the great eternal. But in him was attributes. And attributes is his thoughts. See, just like you have to think of anything before you speak it. Then when you speak, it becomes a word. And then he is the eternal. And in him was attributes, and he spoke it. And it was the word, and the word is made manifest. And as the word is made manifest, it's God becoming material. Amen. So that goes right with what he's saying in Christ, the mystery of God revealed, verse 7 and 17. And so everything is right on time. We don't have to worry about that. He'll have everything. He'll never let his enemy override him. He'll let the enemy do certain things to lead people into temptation, to try his child, and so forth. For every son that comes to God must be chastened of God and tried. How many? Everyone. Everyone. All is coming to that. That's right. And so he says some things there that sound, they sound like they're the opposite of what he had been preaching, because he had clearly preached that those things were over and that the church ages were finished and that we were in the bride age. And so he preached clearly that redemption was over. So the way that it was being preached in the church ages, that idea was finished. That idea was done. It had went into a higher order. And everything about it went into a higher order. It didn't just one thing or all of it. It all went to a higher order. And so he makes some comments here on different things, some that I hadn't seen before. So when I was reading that, and I said, you know, I'm going to read it regardless, even if I can't explain it too well. Then the next quote that I looked at was in this message on the countdown. And I think I probably put a little bit too much in here from this message. So I hope it doesn't hinder me from getting to where I wanted to get to. But it makes a good point. And so I want you to look at it. When a man is filled with the Holy Ghost, there is something in him that's full of God's spiritual vitamin, makes him praise God and shout and act different. Because why? He's no longer earthbound. See? He is in the heavens, sailing around in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, this is the truth. This is 100% the truth. We are now in heavenly places. So, we're not earthbound. When you are earthbound, just like he's going to tell us, he's going to talk about the natural astronaut and the spiritual astronaut. And the difference in them is, one, is he's showing the difference in the progression of man going from the bicycle to the horse, or from the horse to the bicycle to the cars, the automobile, then even going into the airplane. And so he brings out on the natural side, all of that is still within the boundaries of gravity. All of that is still, it has a resistance. It has something. Gravity is a resistance. If you stand here long enough, you're going to fall down. You're not going to fall up. You're going to fall down. So you got enough strength to stand here for 10 hours or 24 hours, however long. At some point in time, you're going to fall. And there's a resistance. There's something that's pulling you down. When you leave the Earth's atmosphere, there is nothing pulling you down. There's no gravity. And so there's no resistance. You're just floating. You're just floating. There's no resistance there anymore. And so there is a place in the spiritual realm, there is a place where that resistance, you lose that resistance. You lose that gravity. You lose that pressure. Amen. That's what we want. That's where we want to live, right there. See? Because why? He's no longer earthbound. He is in the heavens, sailing around in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He left them earthbound with their bicycles and automobiles. They've went to the air. See? Yes, sir. Practically has taken them out there, out of date, and healed the sick, spoken unknown tongues, done many things. See? All of those things, yeah. And he's done that in the ministry in this last day. He's done it in the ministry in the seventh church age. But he's going to tell us that this ministry is different than that ministry there. It's totally different. See? But friends, may I say this? It has to come to the age of the astronaut. Now, we've moved out of the airplane age. See? Is that clear? We have moved out of the airplane age. Now, that was a great age. That was a great time. That was a great outpouring of the Spirit. And you actually had left the ground. You were in the air, and you were sailing through the air, and it was a powerful time. But now there is something greater. And this will take you not only off of the ground, but it will take you into the heavenlies. It will take you into space. And that's the astronaut. The astronaut's totally different than the airplane pilot. There's two different things. There's so many things that pilot's going through. He's going through the clouds. He's going through all those things. He's fighting all of those forces. When he comes up, they delayed the wife's plane because of the weather when she was leaving Gainesville. And so they were coming out to the taxiing out to the runway. They stopped. They called it off. They turned around. They went back to the gate and said they had to put more fuel in the plane because if they got here and the weather was too bad, then they were going to have to fly to another airport somewhere else. And they only put enough fuel on there to make it to where they're going. They don't want to waste the extra weight at what it costs to do that. So that airplane can't do that. But the rocket, it goes beyond. It goes beyond the clouds. It goes beyond all of it. And so it puts you into another atmosphere. We've moved out of the airplane age. The airplane age. We got more power now. The astronaut age has come in. What is it? We've come into a spiritual age of astronautcy, going above. It's the same spirit, only more power, huh? Only lifted higher. See, it can go higher now. See, you can see more. You can believe more. You can be more in Christ. That's right. See, same spirit, just more of it. That's right. Not the automobile, see, not the horse and buggy, not even the airplane, but the astronaut. He sweeps on and above each one. See, it's called the Eagle Age. In the Bible, God calls his prophets Eagle Age. See, we realize over in the Bible, in Malachi 4, that we're promised that in the last days, he likens his prophets to eagles. And he calls himself an eagle. He is the great Jehovah Eagle. See? Jehovah Eagle. He's able to achieve to himself a bride. And he's going to, in the last days, be able to get a bride that with a ministry that so exactly like a man and his wife becomes one. Huh? He talked about Adam and Eve. He talked about Christ and the bride. He's talking about this ministry now. See? A man and his wife becomes one. When Jehovah gets his people like him, then he lives in his people and they are one. Amen. Praise be to God. This is the astronaut age, see? And the astronaut sees things that the horse rider don't. The automobile or airplane, see? Either one sees. He goes higher. The airplane, it goes higher. It was great. You know, and those of you that have been up above the trees, everything looks different. When you're up in a plane and you're looking back at the ground, sometimes you're looking at it and you wonder, where is that? Where is that? And you can be flying over a city or a place that you know. You perfectly know. If you was on the road, looking down the road, you know exactly where you're at. Every road, every turn, you know exactly where you're at. And you get above it, and I've many times done this, coming back into Charlotte Douglas. And you're crossing those interstates. You're crossing 85. You're crossing 485. And they all look alike. And I'm trying to say, now that one is 485. And I said, no, maybe it's 85. And I'm trying to figure out which one. I'm looking for buildings. And now I'm not looking at the building. I'm looking at the roof of the buildings. And so I didn't realize. And then I can see ponds that you can never see. And little lakes and stuff, beyond, they're all covered, hidden behind the trees and stuff when you're going down the road. You don't see all that stuff. But when you get up there, you start seeing stuff you've never seen before. And it's really awesome. But this is another thing. This is another thing altogether. This is going up beyond, not just seeing here, but going up beyond the clouds, going up into the atmosphere. This is another place altogether. And that's what he's talking about. In being in heavenly places, your position in this revelation, in this day, your position in the body of Christ today, where he is today. See, that airplane's still down here bouncing around in the clouds, having blowouts and hit downs and everything else. But he goes beyond the clouds. There ain't no wheels on a rocket. That astronaut, he ain't got wheels. That plane, I don't know if you ever been on a plane and a tire blow out when they land. That's why they got so many of them up under there. Because you just think that thing's coming down and it hits that asphalt so hard that it goes from zero to I don't know how fast in a nanosecond, whatever they would call it. But just in a moment of time, it goes from nothing to, I want to say thousands, but turning so fast, but at least hundreds of miles an hour or something like that. Anyways, it just goes. And sometimes it bumps down so hard, and it just, I've had it do it, had tire blow out on landing before, and it's just a explosion. I mean, it is a major explosion, and you're like, wow, what just happened? And actually, I wouldn't have known what happened, but one of the guys on the flight was a pilot, and he was just getting a ride, and so he told us that there was a tire blowout. So, good thing. So you don't have that in a rocket. You don't have that in a rocket. You don't worry about blowouts and clouds and all of that stuff. No. See, the astronaut age, we are living in the astronaut age, just as sure as God has testified by the natural happenings here. See, is he testifying of how that if we've achieved an astronaut, God has achieved what he promised to achieve in the last days. See, according to Malachi 4. Now, only thing he has to do now is get somebody in his hands that can cut loose from the airplanes and automobiles and what more. Now, I just like that statement because that's the problem. That's the problem. God gives us something, and then he tries to give you something better, and you don't want better. You want to stay right here? No, I'm just fine where I'm at. I like doing what I'm doing. I like believing what I'm believing. But God has something better. See, not look back to what it was. Now I'm getting now to where this hit me when I was thinking about the message we just read out of, where he's talking about we're still, that he's on the throne, that he's there, an intercessor tonight, that he's doing these things, and we're waiting for him to come, and we're waiting for all these things. See? Now, I want you to think about that as you're reading what he's saying here. See, not look back to what it was, but more power to lift him up higher. Lift him into the presence of God. Lift him up there where all things are possible. Now, we see it's happening. There's no doubt to it, see? So does the spiritual astronaut. As the natural astronaut goes on above the planes, and the planes always wrecking and fussing in the clouds and everything like that, there can be nothing greater, no more achievement than the astronaut. Huh? There's no, Brother Branham said, there's nothing beyond this. There's nothing greater than this. This is it. See? This is what we've been waiting for. This is what we were looking for. Only thing he has to do is just keep putting more power. And he'll go anywhere he wants to, see? Because it's done gone into space. That's right. Oh, my. Once you get into space, it don't take much energy. There's no resistance. All you need is just a little bit of power, and you're just going to go. You're just going to go on and on and on. Airplanes are down here wrecking, fussing, grounded, and everything like that. But the astronaut don't have to be grounded. He goes on above the clouds. He goes on above and on above the creed and above the denomination. On above those say, it isn't so. It isn't so. See, he's got a guide, the Holy Spirit. And the word tells him so, and he moves on. That's right. That's right. Praise God. Brother Branham talked about the two. He said that natural guy, he said that the natural astronaut, he said he's got something that's controlling him. He's not sitting up there in the driver's seat. He's not steering it and making it go where he wants it to go. No, there's somebody controlling it. It's controlled by the radar. And it's doing what they are making it do. And he said it's the same way in the spiritual. He said, you are in that spiritual rocket. You're that spiritual astronaut. Amen. And he said, you also are controlled. But you're controlled by the word. And he said, it's the spirit that's leading you. It's the spirit that's guiding you, that's moving you. It's the force, it's the power that's pushing you out into the heavenlies. See? Ministry, 67. Ministry, what does it? The astronaut sees things that the planes and everything is out of date. So does the spiritual astronaut. Goes beyond the clouds. That's right. Oh, the astronaut that makes that airplane seem like an antique. It just seems like nothing. See? Oh, yeah. See, beyond creeds, beyond doubt, out into outer space. Outer space of all unbelief. Outer space where they don't hear the chatter saying, well, you can't do it. Nobody will cooperate with you. You can't do this. You can't do that. He doesn't notice it, see? He's an astronaut. He goes on beyond those clouds. It's too stormy. We can't make it. It don't make any difference to an astronaut, see? He goes beyond the storm, see? That's the way it is to a real astronaut faith today. They say, well, the doctor said so. That might be all right, but an astronaut don't believe that. See? When it's wrote here, he's got it in his heart. Something tells him. He just propels right on out. That's all. Goes right on out into the space. Because we're living in the astronaut age, sir. Out in space. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we are. That's where we are. Where all things are possible, huh? To them that believe. He has a guide, which is his word, that tells him how to go, the word of God. That's right. See? Amen. 69. The natural astronaut, he's talking now about the controlling. We want to drop down to paragraph 70. So the spiritual astronaut has a control power, has a control tower too. It's not down here like man is. It's up there. It's the Holy Ghost that's in him, that's controlling him. A tower of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's under control. It keeps him in control by the word. Not a bunch of fanaticism, some whooped up nonsense. Thus saith the Lord, and it happens. It's always under control. He's got a control tower. That's the Holy Ghost. That's right. The Word is his program. And he lays right into that program. And the power of the Holy Ghost endows him to move out. And it brings the achievement of God that God wants to be achieved for his people. That it might fulfill what he promised. That's what he wants. That's what it's all about, is fulfilling what he promised. He said he doesn't heal you or heal people today because that he just wants to do it, or do you want him to do it? He's doing it because he promised he would do it. Yes, he's doing it because he said that he would do it. Amen. He has a bride without spot or wrinkle because he said he's going to have a bride. Right. And that he's going to prove every word. He's going to bring it to pass. If you read it in here, you can bank on it. It's going to be just like he said. Jesus did not heal the people because he had to do it. He fulfilled the scripture, see? He healed because it was written that he would do it. He don't have to show these signs today. He don't have to have a ministry of such and such. But he promised he would do it. He does it to fulfill his promise. Amen. Brother, sister, man, women, can't you see that? Can't you see the type of the spiritual and the natural? That's right. Praise be to God. He's bringing it. So they got their great big scientific tube here not long ago. Astronaut tube. They were taking the countdown, headed for the moon. They're getting off here. See, they got an astronaut and big tube powered by an atomic power that they can send it plumb to the moon, they claim. They got it in their tube and they're waiting the countdown. The spiritual astronaut got in Christ and is listening to the countdown of the word. What are they doing? They're wrapped in Christ, enrapturing grace. Nothing they did themselves.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Christ took the uneducated, the foolish things of the world, wrapped his astronauts in it, and empowered them with the Holy Ghost to take off. The world is going to be left. The world is to be left alone. That's right, taking off. This quote made me think of Brother Branham saying that when the bride is raptured, the Word leaves the earth. The Spirit of God leaves the earth. The quote, I remember exact word for word, but paraphrasing what he said. And that's what happens. The bride is caught up in Christ. She is in heavenly places in Christ. And the world finishes. It finishes what it's going to do. It goes into its sanity. It goes into complete chaos. There's never been a time of such chaos as there is right now. It's just getting worse by the day. And in paragraph 79, Brother Branham says, notice the natural man, he even counts backwards. I said he did things backwards. He counts backwards. That's what they do with this revelation. They take it backwards. And if we take it with our mind, we will get it backwards. Because God says it in a way that the people take it and go with it, and they go the wrong way. And then when God reveals it, many times it's the opposite of the way we thought it was. Even reading the scripture, sometimes it's the opposite of what we thought it was when he reveals it. When the prophet comes and says, no, it's not like that. It's like this. There's many scriptures. Notice that he's talked about the natural man counting backwards. What does God do? He starts with his number, 7. That's God's number. Watch him, 7. He counts ahead, starting with 1. See, first church age, second, third, fourth, fifth. That's what his symbols was on earth. There's 7 church ages. Until now, she's getting resurrected power in her to fly above the things of the world. Seeing him in out here in the church, making himself the same yesterday, today, and forever. The countdown is even over. Did you hear that? The countdown is over. That's right. Every church age has done past. We're ending on Laodicea. That's right. Now, once again, referring back to what he said in that message, he's still on the throne. Listen, are you driving a horse and buggy today? Are you riding a bicycle? An automobile? Or have you got up into the clouds with a plane? If you have, I've got something to tell you. There is an astronaut age on now. Why don't you come get into the astronaut? Oh, I know it sounds scary. The first man that ever got in an airplane liked to scare him to death. First one that had an automobile, you know what it done. But now it's a common thing, brother, sister. Jesus Christ is here. The great astronaut tube that we're to be in. Cloud over us won't mean one thing. He'll break every cloud of doubt, everything of unbelief, sweep out yonder into the space. If you haven't got into him yet, you might have an opportunity this afternoon. Maybe. If there's a seed in there, you might have an opportunity. That's right. There might be a chance. Paragraph 93. Heavenly Father, I'm trying to close now, but just a little bit more I want to get here. Oh, Heavenly Father, you see their hands. I'm only responsible for preaching the word. May they see that these achievements, they see it in the natural. Then if we look back, we see it in the spiritual. You're here, Lord. You promised it. See, are we back there in the meditatorial work, or have we moved up? And Father, so many things could be said right here. Maybe the church wouldn't understand. Huh? That's what he said when he was talking to that group of people. You go back and read the first part of that message. Read what he's saying. That they are they able to understand? If they're not, if he's just talking to nominal believers, they're not able to understand the mysteries of these things.
That's right.
And they've got to be brought into it in a way. God has to lead you to do that. So he's saying, see, but I pray that you'll give them such a crave for it, Lord, that they'll come and see we're at the end time, the astronaut age. I pray, Father, that they'll realize it isn't trying to condemn what they had. It's only trying to give them more, rapturing grace. For the hour will come when we'll have to have rapture power, not only to heal the body, but to change it in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Christ will be so real into their bodies till he can change it. See, by his great death, that he what he purchased, may they take this today. What that token that I spoke of last night, hold it before them and walk into this, O God. Walk into what? This astronaut age. This is not what we had back there. This is not the airplane. This is something much greater. O God, where all the great mysteries of God is unfolded in those seven seals and made known to man. Granted, they're yours now. I realize that that altar call is what we do. But Lord, you said, huh? But you said, altar call is what an altar call is what we do. But you said, amen, as many as believe. I pray that you give them faith to believe. The first thing, these things that we're talking about, are they so? Are they not? We know the Bible promised it. But is he here? God is here to do what he promised. See? God is here. And we've gone beyond speaking in tongues. Are you listening? We've gone beyond that. We've beyond the airplane. That's all right. We've gone beyond these little things, and we're into a place now where we've got to have astronaut faith. That's astronaut power to realize that we're in Christ already. Huh? We got to have that power, that faith to realize we're already in him. Yes. Not we're going to be in him. We're already in him now. See? Just more of Christ. See? To lift us up into heavenly places. See? Just more of it and more of it. Listen to this. I've believed for a long time. We used to read the quote a lot, especially on the mission field, because people are so big into it. Brother Branham said, I've tried for 16 years to get the people away from the laying on of hands. What was he trying to get them to? If he didn't want them, if he didn't want to lay hands on him, what was he trying to get him to? Amen. He was trying to get him away from that they needed to have you touch them. Or they needed some oil. Or they needed something else. Listen to this. The old method, huh? Which one? The old method of praying and laying on of laying hands on the sick, that's good. That was Luther's days, huh? Which day was it? Luther's day. Friend, back in the automobile and so forth. We're beyond that now. Huh? Amen. We're going back to that? Why are the message churches today, that's what they're going back to. They're going back, they want a prayer line. They want a bottle of oil. They want to lay hands. You watch them, and I don't want to criticize, because if some of them are getting healed, that's wonderful. But all of the shaking and dancing and passing out and they're going to keep on until you pass out, and then they're going to catch you and they're going to lay you down, and it's the same ones every time. And amen. I've been there. I've seen it. As soon as we come in the message, I seen it. 40 years ago, I seen it. In Pentecostal meetings, my wife and I went, and they got ready for to pray for the sick. They brought them up. They get the brothers come around, stand behind them, and they start anointing him, start praying for him, and all of a sudden he gets stiff. He's not passing out. He's getting stiff so they can catch him. And he gets stiff, and he just falls back in their arms, and they lay him down, and he's good until a fly gets on his nose. And No, nonsense.
That's right.
That was great in the automobile day.
Yep.
That was great. But you know what? There's something greater than that.
Amen.
As good as we think that was, as good as we still think that it is,
yep,
there's something greater than that.
Amen.
And I'm going to read it to you. Remember, Jesus come to the Jews in the old days, and Jairus said, "Come and lay your hands on my daughter, and she'll live." Huh? Is that right? But the Roman, what did the Roman say?
Amen.
"I'm not worthy that you come. Just speak the word." Just speak the word.
Yes, sir.
Brother, sister, that's where I want to be.
Amen.
That's where I want to be. If I need prayer, who am I going to talk to? I'm going to ask the saints to pray with me.
Amen.
Because I know what the Bible says. We were talking with Sister Edith last night. I know Bible numerology. Just one little thing. I don't say that like I know it. I don't know it. But I know one thing. The Bible says that one believer,
that's right,
can put 1,000 devils to flight.
Yes.
You know, that's the Bible. And it says two can put 10,000 devils to flight.
Amen.
What about that multiplication?
Yes.
That's a powerful thing for us to pray together. That's right. But the difference is, we don't have to have oil, and we don't have to have hands laid on us, and we don't have to shake anybody until they get rattled.
Huh.
No. We have faith to believe that what we're asking for, God is going to give it.
Right.
"I'm not worthy that you come. Just speak the word." See, he recognized the power of Christ that was over all things.
Amen.
Praise be to God. You know, and I always thought it was an astounding thing when that soldier told him, that centurion told him, he said, "I'm like you." "I'm like you." And that's a big statement to make when you're talking to God. But he was speaking of a specific thing. I am in the natural like you are in the spiritual. I say to this one, "Go," and he goes. And I say to that one, "Go," and he goes. He recognized the power of God. Whatever you say, what you speak to these spirits, and they'll go. You do whatever you say, Lord. That's how it'll be. That always stood out to me. That's praise God. See, as far as healing somebody, nobody can do it because it's already done. It's already done. What is it then? It's just the recognition of it. See. The recognition that he is in our presence.
Amen.
Praise be to God. All right, so I'm out of time. But I just can't leave off this one quote here. I actually have two here I want to read. And so I'm going to give them to you because this is a year before the quote that we read that he said he's on the throne. Okay? See what I mean? He has begun to give life unto his body. Why? The one that he has redeemed. The meritorial work is done. Huh?
Yep.
It's done. He's bringing life to body. That's right. In a vindication for the rapture. What's the rapture? Huh? It's the complete revelation, the complete body, the complete thing coming together. And he's making it stand on its feet. Remember now, we're in the last days. Then our headship is a kingdom.
Amen.
What is it? It's a kingdom. Our headship is a kingdom. It's the Word. He's the Word. He's the head of the body.
Right.
And it's the kingdom. Our King is the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within you. See? Said the Bible, Jesus, the kingdom. And we're not denomination. We belong to a kingdom. And the kingdom is the Word. The kingdom is the word of God made spirit and life in your own life, bringing to pass every promise in this day, as it did in that day when the word and God was one. And the word and God is one in his church today, making it the headship of the body that is redeemed. Praise be to God. That it's what? It's redeemed. That's right. When he took the book, He claimed it. It's redeemed. It's finished. To bring the message in the last days and be taken up from the dead in the resurrection, to go back and restore again as Adam and Eve in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. The threefold mystery of God, His body. Praise God. What is it? His body. His body. Notice closely now, like in types, Israel of old. See? Notice now, united together under one headship in a like manner. A type of Israel of old. And now you get. Now are you getting it? Like Israel of old, one God. Vindicated by a pillar of fire, revealed Himself through a prophet to be the Word. The same God, pillar of fire. See, same way, He cannot change His ways. Just perfect as it can be, isn't it, see? That's right. Praise be to God. This, I want to read this again, because it just so happens, I heard a preacher preaching today that was saying it wasn't God in a man. This prophet, it wasn't God in a man. I want to read this again. I didn't even realize that, and I didn't read it because of that. It just hit me that I heard a preacher say the opposite of this today. See? One God vindicated by a pillar of fire and revealed Himself through a prophet to be the Word. He revealed Himself to be the Word through that prophet. The same God, the same pillar of fire, the same way, He cannot change His ways. See? Just perfect as it can be, isn't it? See? That's right. Praise be to God. All right. We thank God. And so, we're not in the automobile age, and we're not in the airplane age. We are in the astronaut age, and we are in a higher order. And this is 100% faith. This is 100% spoken word. Speak the word. Just speak the word. You don't have to work anything up. You don't have to produce anything. You don't have to try to make yourself believe something. Just let Him do it. Just let Him take over. And it's the Word coming to the Word. That Word in you. And Christ Himself coming and becoming one. And it is the quickening power. It's making it alive. It's making it alive. Let us stand together. And we're going to dismiss you in a word of prayer. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You. We praise You. Lord, we know that Your Word is true. We know, Father, that we are living in a great time, in a great manifestation, in a great expression, Lord, of You in Your wife. Lord, bringing forth the fullness, the complete, Lord, manifestation, the complete revelation, the complete promise of this hour, Lord. And Lord, we thank You. We praise You. We worship You. Lord, we ask that You would lead us and guide us and draw us day by day. Give us revelation. Lord, let these things that we're hearing now, that we're reading now, let them become more real. Lord, because we know no matter what we see right now, Lord, we know that there's more and more. And you can just reveal more and more to our hearts day by day. Let it continue to grow within us, Father. Bless each one here, those that are not, those that are sick, those that are in need of physical healing. Bless them, Lord, as we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So God bless you. We love you. We appreciate you.